Welcome, lovely listeners. I wish you a wonderfully creepy Wednesday. And if you're listening to me, let me hopefully zhuzh it up a bit. For those of you who don't know what zhuzhing up is, it's to make it better, to empower it. And weirdly enough, because I'm me and want to know where it came from, it stems from either 1968 Britain or 1970s Polari. So, there you go. I got a bit sidetracked. But you're here for stories, and today I have four stories by a brilliant author. And that author is Lucky Number, spelt with two Ks. You can find them on Reddit, and I've featured their work on here before, and I always enjoy their stories. So today, I wanted to put them front and center, with four stories both based in horror and the strange. So turn the lights off, listen to a tale. Sip some tea and join me. Night Monster. Night Monster, is that you?
Yes, child.
Okay, thought so. Can you please not press your face up against my window? It scares me.
I am sorry. I'll move back. Is this better?
Yeah, thanks. I just don't want to get nightmares again, is all. Are you coming to visit the other kids in the orphanage tonight? Or just me?
Just you.
Oh, neat, I suppose. Say, why haven't you been here in a while? You been busy elsewheres?
Indeed, child. I have to visit many homes and see many children. Yours is not the only one in my circuit.
Circuit? What's that?
Yes, my circuit. My route. You know, the territory I travel.
Oh, I see. Hey, Night Monster. Why is it so quiet when you're here? Aren't the other kids afraid of you?
Oh, I suppose there's reason behind it. Well, why aren't you afraid of me, dear?
'Cause I've seen you before. And you never hurt me. You talk with me, and sorta be like my friend. Aren't many around here who talk to me.
I see. Well, that alone's no reason to trust a fellow, or a monster, for that matter. Any fiend is likely enough to play nice, just to creep into your good graces long enough to pounce. You don't truly know me, do you? You've not seen but my face. You've not seen where I sleep after dark times. You've not shared a meal with me. I trust you've done none of those things. Am I wrong, my child?
Well, sure, you put it like that. But anyway, like I said, I guess I'm just not afraid to trust you. It's either I got no friends here or I make a friend out there, hoping they don't eat me. You gonna eat me?
No, child. I'm not an eater.
Well, what are you then, Night Monster?
A distractor.
Huh?
It's my job to keep you busy while the eaters visit your friends.
Queen of the Streets. Beneath a starless night, painted black with the jaded souls of a city forgotten by history and despised by its inhabitants, sleeps a girl with no mouth. Hers is a regretful life, overflowing with the dreaded if-onlys and abundant one days. Her nights spent longingly searching for assistive chemicals. Her days she drifts helplessly between one man's fist and another's bed. There were hopes once, dreams too in fact, murdered by pain, assassinated by reality, crucified by the stress of paying back the unsecured debt of life on this green earth. She no longer gives safe passage in her brain to such fleeting fairies as when she was a young girl. She is grown now, Perhaps not to you or me, but she is grown. She has matured. Perhaps not quite physically, not as much as she will when she turns 18. She has much physical change to go through, and perhaps one day she'll arrive at that juncture. For now, however, she sits on a dull brown stoop in front of a nameless business long since dried up. She cries, not from sadness or fear, but out of habit. A passerby will notice the flowing regret that springs from her eyes and take pity on the girl. An older man with a wallet too thick for good taste. That would be ideal. Or perhaps another young lady should notice the thing crying on the stoop. A peer, at least in age if not life experience. A girl who may, in looking into the tear-filled eyes, decide that she too may desire a life spent on the streets of nowhere. A girl who, upon noticing the foul aroma of cheap tobacco and cheaper perfume, wants nothing more than to descend the stairwell of life into the cellar of the world's underbelly. And when that happens, when another young girl feels the strong pull of empathetic desire and raw temptation, the crying thing on the stoop will give a wonderful gift to her friend. The gift of life experience and of wisdom. She will impart on the newcomer the practical sense that typically can only be learned from many rotten years imbibing on the sore squalor of the inner city. And in exchange for such a gift, the crying thing only charges one price. She insists upon injecting herself into the skin of the other as she gives up her own carcass to the girl with compassion in her eyes. It is an even trade, you see, or at least she insists, as she prowls about the streets with a newfound confidence and delectability, flaunting her fresh skin, face, and fabulous clothes. She looks forward to the fine quality of chemical assistance she will soon be able to afford, her lips and her purse full. The Fire King, a legend of the Moon River. In an age long since given over to decay and rot, there lived a great spirit called the Fire King. He ruled worlds great and small all across the universe. His were terrible and wondrous fiefdoms, filled with fantastic fury of dazzling inferno. No other land matched the raw intensity of the Fire Kingdom's domain. He was a monarch incomparable, both in beauty and mystery. His subjects were naught but flame and coals, fearless sparks and wizened lightning rods. Tales abounded of the souls represented in those glowing particles of mystical brilliance. Tales that, unfortunately, dissipated into mere myth, like so much dying smoke. In another crevice of the great unknown, there lived a lonesome traveller named Magnesia, a beautiful but downtrodden woman who bore a charred tiara on her head of silver and golden locks. She fancied herself a great and primeval queen, but the ones along her path scorned Magnesia, rejecting her as a witch, a common whore, or, at best, a creature of insane delusions. Still, somewhere deep inside of Magnesia, she knew she was of noble blood. She could sense its magnitude empowering her, gnawing at her. It's said that once for a time, the Fire King and Magnesia loved. That, in some obsolete and nondescript era of eternity, the two souls intertwined and exchanged great power. That, in a wordless dialogue between god and goddess, universes were sprung up and divided, and finally burned away with a fiery delight from the passion of those two. They say that the reason why the skies beyond our own planet lay darkened is because of the soot and death that coursed its way throughout the firmament, galactic ash, from a destructive set in motion by the affair of the Fire King and Magnesia. A truly learned scholar would tell you the reason why. Out of all the planets in the galaxies, Earth can still support life and peace, and green things budding from moist soil. It is the Moon River, a colossal body of a thing not unlike water sprung from the moon herself. It divides two lands in the spirit realm, where the Fire King and Magnesia have long since been banished. They say that the Moon River spans eternity and is so vast in breadth that none can see across it, let alone traverse its expanse. But legend tells of a day that might soon come, when two drifters will be seen joining hands after a long divide between them has passed, and they will walk along the Moon River together, united again, weakened by the passage of time, not as mortals but still under the pestilent debt of aging. They know they cannot love as before, not without consequence. But they do love. They are one, in their desire and aftermath. And so when that day comes, the Fire King and Magnesia will once more consummate their passion in a torrid finale. They will truly set the world on fire, as they burn along with it. The Council of the Wicked. Five figures circled a table deep within the earth. No words were exchanged. All five knew their specific purpose there. First, a wolfen man stood, bearing fangs and contorting demonically. He shredded a chunk of fur and flesh from his loins, dropping the matted mess onto the table with an underwhelming thunk. Next, a dark spirit wafted across the table, inserting itself into the bloody stuff with a malignant whisper. With that, the table wavered as if under immense weight from some gargantuan heft. The wolfen man howled in his profane tongue heathen cries to an unknown god. Keeping graceful composure, a wood witch tiptoed from her seat and, without pause, sliced open her throat with a readied blackthorn. The wound brought forth bowlfuls of blood that congealed into wriggling shapes as soon as it touched the gathered scraps below. Again, the whole council felt shaking and a terrible echo. The ritual was nearing climax. Thick, dragging footsteps announced the cautious approach of a pale ogre, his diseased eyes groping the cavern. He retched. Devilish organs slithered out of him, joining the abomination below. The squirming growth slunk off the table and into a rat hole behind it. One last figure strode forth, bearing no resemblance to the initial participants in this hellish ritual. He truly did not resemble much at all. Or perhaps he resembled too many things. One glance seemed to capture a pig sort of thing walking on hind legs with a translucent hide. The next moment, only a vaporous form occupied that space, and as he sauntered over to the rat hole, he appeared clad in a sleek silver suit, with a menacing face whose smile travelled further than is customary. Reaching an elongated arm into the hole, the figure ripped back the putrid mass from its hiding spot and sank viperous fangs deep into the writhing shape. An unearthly squeal from that damned thing in his hands. His smile grew impossibly wider as he uncaged a laugh fit for the devil himself. As the laugh shrank to a chuckle, he dropped the squealing heap with an irreverent thunk back onto the table. Just wait, dear comrades. Trust me, all will soon come to pass. He sighed with annoyed arrogance, leaning back as if to relax, yet never letting his gaze drift from what thrashed desperately on the table. As the member of the Dark Council watched expectantly, the bulbous stuff grew and grew and, with a deafening pop, released its contents. The thing that came from it walked on two legs and had no resemblance to any of the council. It was a little girl.
Behold, our greatest weapon.
Crowed the final member of the council, doing his best to reject his piggish form in favor of the man in the silver suit. With this creature, all knowledge shall be ours. She will be our agent of chaos. He smiled, impossibly wide, as he looked the girl dead in her eyes. Walk, dear Abigail. Walk the earth and tell us what you learn. So, if you like these stories, show Lucky Number some love. Visit them easily via Reddit and take a look at their stories. Not only is Lucky Number a prolific writer, but they just get better and better. And on that, did you have a favorite story? I really feel for the kid in the first story, and how the monster this whole time is teaching him a harsh lesson. The second story might have people a bit confused. My interpretation, that is that the ending sounds like the creature on the stoop swaps souls with whomever they touch, leaving in the new body whilst the other person is left to stay in her old husk. Just a thought. The third story I really loved, just brilliantly written regarding love and romance. And the last story was just strange and unique. I loved it. What are your thoughts on this set of stories? If you want more stories from Lucky Number, let me know and I'll reach out to them to find more of their stories. Also, you brilliant people, if you know anyone who loves podcasts, send me to them, and with me, I will bring an army of stories to fight off their boredom. And thank you so much for listening. This is the place where stories live, and you telltellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.